before the service, so we're thankful that you were able to come out of the Thanksgiving turkey coma and come join us today for service. We're thankful for that. Do we have any prayer requests or moments of joy that we celebrate? Go ahead and put your hand in the air, and we have our guys in the corner that have a microphone there if we have anything.
I would just like to ask for prayers for my nephew, Garrett. He was attacked by an inmate a few months ago down at Oakland County. He's a corrections officer, and he's having his shoulder replaced on Thursday. He's only 26, so say some prayers for him.
Garrett?
I would like to ask for special prayers for Pastor Matt's mother, who's been in the hospital, and I'm under the understanding she just had surgery last week. Yep. So please keep Pastor Matt's mother in your prayers.
Anyone else? The Deitch family?
Deitch
family. Let me get into that a little bit, if I could. Thank you, Russ. Monica's mom passed away on Thanksgiving Day, and so she's not going to be here today because the showing is today over at Hackers from 2 to 5, and she wanted to have that open to everyone, but that's why she's not here to say that herself. But she wanted to ask for your prayers for her and her family, and then also invite anyone who would like to come to the service for her mom. She was a member over at Snover Heritage, so it's going to be at Snover Heritage United Methodist Church at 11 o'clock on Monday. So Monica's, some of us have known her before she moved away when she was school age, but she's been recently with us for a little while and member of the community, and she's working on some things in the new year for us, and I just thought it would be a great opportunity for us to stop by today if we can or be aware of the funeral service. So yes, it's family. Anybody else?
My boy Leonard's got to have surgery on his spine tomorrow.
Tomorrow, and what's his first name?
He's going to be in Midland Hospital.
Midland?
Yep.
It's Leonard, same, right?
Need prayers for him. Thank you.
Yes, tomorrow. Okay. Anyone else? Am I missing the choir back here? Anyone else from back here? No? Yeah, we'll take one more, sure.
We all need to pray for someone none of us have ever met. And her name is Amanda Clark, and she's at Boston Medical Center, and she has cancer of the bile duct.
Amanda Clark. Thank you for allowing us to undertake. We don't always have to recognize the face or have a relationship to know that prayer is honored and lifted up. Thank you for bringing Amanda before us today. Anyone else? Yes, Heather? Oh, Ron, I think we might need the microphone there.
If I could get some prayers for my grandpa. He has cancer and he's not doing very well. And it's the boys' great-grandpa.
And your grandpa's name?
Walter.
You know, submit Walter for us, yes. Anyone else?
I'm just asking for prayers for my uncle. He's my only living uncle, my mom's only living sibling. We just found out he has prostate cancer that has went to his bones. So they're just trying to find out exactly what kind. He's going to be going through a bunch of tests this week. So just prayers for our family. Thank you.
Yes. For Roy, okay. Anyone else? Okay. Before we move on to our announcements, can we just take a second to think about some of those medical issues? I mean, this is a holiday weekend, isn't it, right? Just an opportunity for us to remember that our community and somebody that we love need our prayers, and for us to slow down in the busyness that seems to pick up this time of year to remember that we need to lift up those prayers. And since they've been lifted up, they're charging us as the church to be the church. So we have a responsibility to remember those things. Do we have any announcements that aren't printed in the bulletin? Anyone have an announcement? Bev is not here, so I'm going to take this one too. Russ, do you care if I take this one? is we're going to have our, you don't know what it is, our prayer and praise service is going to be this week on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And so what that is an opportunity for us to have a little bit more in-depth prayer than we can because we go on the radio with some things like that, some laying on hands opportunities, and just some time to be able to come together and praise as well. And we might have an opportunity, if there's enough people here, to maybe learn a few songs that we might not be as familiar with, right, to do some of those things. So we'd like to invite you. This is something that we're going to try to do on a monthly basis starting at the beginning of the year. So we just kind of wanted to see how it was going to go. But it'll be a prayer service on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. So, right? Oh, did you have a question or no? No, not all on Wednesdays. We're just kind of figuring out. Yeah. Yep. So, okay. Anything else? Okay. Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? No? Any anniversaries? Oh. You're going to be three pretty soon? Woo! All right. Praise the Lord for that, huh? Well, I remember she wouldn't answer me a question. I was standing 2 feet in front of her. Now, hey, this is great. Anyone else? Well, let's sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, do we have any anniversaries that we're celebrating this week? No anniversaries? Okay. Well, we're going to hand things over to our talented choir to be able to lead us and start our service today. Please stay in that moment of solace and ask you to join me in this moment of prayer to ask the Lord to bless our time together. Almighty and Creator God, for this day that you've given us, for the breath in our lungs, we give you thanks and praise. Lord, this day belongs to you, and we seek to honor you today as we gather together to worship. And Lord, we ask that you would be glorified in the things that we say, the songs that are lifted up, and the prayers that are lifted. Lord, anoint us today as we gather together in this sacrificial time to build us up and sustain us for the work you have for us, the kingdom ministry building that needs to happen in this world. Lord, we thank you for this season. Breathe new life into us and have us see with your eyes this world that needs to hear the good news that your Son was sent here to save us. Saves us every day and will continue to save us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, could we sing together? Please stand if you're able, and as you're standing, we'll sing together number 98, To God Be the Glory. Number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats today, we're going to ask our children to come up for the children's time. Do we have any with us today? They'll be up. I'm not sure we have a whole lot today with us, but come on up today. We're thankful, and for those that can't be with us today, sometimes we often, when we miss our familiar faces, we know they're probably traveling for the holidays, so we wish them well on their travels. How are you guys today? I heard that you two girls had plenty of turkey already. Did you have any turkey? Didn't have any? 3 pieces. How many without ranch? Oh, okay. You had to try one piece without, and then we had to slather it through. I hear you. Did you have any turkey at Thanksgiving? No, okay. Scarlett, any turkey at Thanksgiving? Oh, well, come on up. Did you have turkey at Thanksgiving? Did you have lots of turkey at Thanksgiving?
No.
No? You don't like it? What did you like that you had?
I like goldfish.
You like goldfish? Ooh, that's a good side dish. Kind of a goldfish casserole at Grandma's house. For well, today, you know, that's funny. Every week that we've been gathering together this month, we've been thinking about, November's almost over, right? And so we've been thinking about this one scripture verse from Philippians, and what's that? It's just about 4 more days, isn't it? It's almost over. So next week, we're going to be working on a new scripture verse. But it's so important that when we try to memorize scripture, that we don't forget just because it's December and there's a new verse of the month, right? We want to remember these things. Does anybody know it by heart? Can anybody say the verse that we've been working on? Does anyone want to try it? You say it? Go ahead. Hey, were you reading that off the board? That's pretty good, I think. But that's exactly it, right? I can do all things in Jesus' name because he gives me strength, right? Isn't that a good one? Now, let's try to say that together. We're going to count to 3, and then we're going to say it together. Can we do that? 1, 2, 3. I can do all things in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. That sounded pretty good, didn't it? You know what always sounds better when we learn these things together? But you know what sounds really good is when we ask the rest of the church to say it with us. Do you think it's a good opportunity for us to say that all together? Grady, do you want to count us down this time? I'm always doing it. Do you think you could give a 3 count and ask everybody? Go ahead, can you have you stand up for a second? And then just make sure they can see it because I might not be able to hear you. So count off 1, 2, 3, and then we'll say it. Go ahead, whenever you're ready. I can do all things in Jesus' name because he gives me strength. Doesn't that sound good? Tell you what, now that we're all, how about we all stand up when we get ready for our prayer time? Can we do that? All right. Let's stand up, but we're going to go ahead and still fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. And you guys can say these words after me before Sunday school, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for turkey and Thanksgiving and for your scripture that you had for us today. Bless our time in Sunday school and everybody that's gathered here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we do have practice today. Do we have practice for Sunday school? So who will be leading the kids downstairs today? Now, I don't think that you have the flag, do you, Miss Tammy? I don't think you do have that. So is there something in your background and training that you could corral the kids together to follow under? Miss Tammy's going to hold her purse in the air, and that's going to be her flag for today. So follow the blue bag, okay? So everybody line up at downstairs. We're thankful for that, and just as a reminder that when they're making their way downstairs, No Vacancy, A Christmas Musical, for most of you probably received this. Here it gives you some information about the 10th that's coming up pretty soon, and we're going to have that opportunity December 10th at 5 o'clock. So we're hoping that you're going to be here with us today and we can celebrate a little bit together. So we're thankful for the kids' ministry there and those that are helping out, and we know that their time will be blessed together today. so often has been a great blessing of us this season, this year, has been a sharing our stories time and really valuing and understanding. Each of us has a story and the power of testimony, and it's so much power because it not only reminds us of God's faithfulness in our life, but it also lets everybody else in on some of those times when God has revealed himself and been faithful here. Veronica, we're going to ask that you come up today and share with us your story today, as we'll be blessed by hearing it as well.
I'll try to do this without looking at anybody. I always said that my husband could do this better than I could. Even when I was in school, if I had to look at anybody and get in front of the class, I'd pretend I was sick so I didn't have to do it. My story starts when my parents taught us how to pray when we were old enough to understand what prayer was all about. So we prayed as a family, always. I lost my faith when my little brother was killed by a drunken driver hit and run. I didn't blame God for that. I just lost my faith. That was in November. November, a year later, I get in a horrible car accident, and I had 4 operations to learn to walk. And I was laid up for 2 years. I wasn't close to God, but I thank God for the accident because I took life for granted. I took people for granted. And I even took God for granted. Then I wasn't close to him, but I kind of stayed away from God. But it's amazing how you stay away from God, God doesn't stay away from you. So then later, I moved to California, and I thought I met a nice man. How wrong I was. He was very abusive, physically and mentally. I thank God for that situation because now I know what a good man was. And I came back home to spend time with my dad before he passed away. Joey asked me to marry him. And I told him he could take his proposal back because I had a thing to tell him. I got pregnant and my child died before it could be born. So I told him I cannot give him any children. But my wonderful husband said we don't always get married to have children. So of course I said yes, so I married him. Then later down the, we got baptized together several years later, so we have God in our hearts. Then a couple years later, someone tried to murder my husband on the job. That changed my whole life forever. Nothing was ever going to be the same. And so because of my faith and Joey and I that have God in our hearts, we dealt with it the best way we knew how. Couple years later, his tumor, he has a brain tumor. It turned cancerous. Life was horrible, but we did our best. And my road has been huge potholes in it when I didn't have God in my life. When I asked God to come in my life, my road's hiccups, little hiccups now. And so that's how we stayed. We're going to always have God in our hearts, and we make him number one. And now our life's much better, and we can deal with anything that comes our way. And that's my story. I have this little thing that I wanted to read because this is how I base my life. It's called God Said. I asked God to take away my habit. God said, it's not for me to take away, but for you to give it up. I asked God to make my handicapped child whole. God said, his spirit is whole, his body's only temporary. I asked God to grant me patience. God said, patience is a product of tribulations. It isn't granted, it is learned. I asked God to give me happiness. God said, I give you blessing. Happiness is up to you. I asked God to spare me pain. God said, suffering draws you apart from worldly cares and brings you closer to me. I asked God to make my spirit grow. God said, you must grow on your own, but I will prune you to make you fruitful. I asked God for all the things that I might enjoy life. God said, I will give you life so that you may enjoy all things. I asked God to help me love others as much as he loves me. God said, ah, finally you have the idea. So.
As Veronica finds her seat, we thank you for sharing that with us and understanding that for those of us that have spent some time with you and had an opportunity for conversation, it doesn't take too long before Veronica is constantly praising God for everything big and small in her life and just simply for the day she's had. And I want to take this opportunity before we move on to share something with you that everybody might not know, and Veronica, I guess maybe I should have asked it, but you've told so many people about it. I hope it's okay. She volunteers as a grandmother, right, for the preschool kids. And Ginny, what's the exact name for that class? The foster grandparents. And so oftentimes, and I have to let you know that I have firsthand knowledge of this because my daughter's in that same class. And so she says Grandma Veronica was at her table today. And it's interesting because that's kind of how she marks what she's doing, is at whose table she was at. And it's important for us to understand that we're so thankful, Veronica, for your story, for your faithfulness, and understanding that there are so many kids who need that, and I know that some of that fills your life as well, and we're just thankful for your constant faith and your willingness to pour your spirit and your time to other people. And so can we just thank her for her opportunity, not only in this church of sharing her story, but for her community awareness as well as her investment with the kids. Can we just celebrate that for a second? We have so many reasons in our life and in our church to celebrate. We need to take advantage of those. Another thing that we need to take advantage of is always remembering that prayer is such an important thing. We even see Jesus setting aside a time in Scripture for prayer. And so we seek to honor that by, as our tradition, to say the Lord's Prayer together that was inspired by the words that Jesus had for us. Could you please join me, as is our tradition, to say these words out loud as one body and one voice? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. All right, we have choir for our star child today.
This is one of the fairly unusual years that the Sunday after Thanksgiving is not the first Sunday of Advent. It's actually the last Sunday of the Christian year. It's got a name called Christ the King Sunday. The first Sunday in Advent actually starts the Christian year. And so I came up with a song, I don't see it as a Christmas carol, but kind of a song to get us ready for the Advent season called Star Child. If you want to see all the words, it's in the little black book on page 2095. It's not really an anthem, but it's a song I like really well. It's not a song that has any harmony, and so as we sing the verses, I thought it could get a little monotonous if you weren't watching the words, and so we're presenting it in a different way than we usually do the songs we present at our anthem time. So we are sharing Star Child with you. The refrain is very catchy, so hopefully by the time we do it, there's five verses to the song. Hopefully by the time we get to the refrain the second or third time, you'll be humming it with us. And then we'd like you to join and sing the fifth verse with us, and you see the words to the fifth verse on the screens. So, Star Child, to get us ready for the Advent season.
Star Child, Earth Child, go between of God. Love Child, Christ Child, Heaven's lightning rod.
Normally, we celebrate when the anthem is finished, and we took part in that. Could we celebrate the anthem that was chosen and everyone that participated in that? And certainly, as we follow along on these words, if any are maybe not familiar, it was maybe your first time looking through it, haven't in a while, it's interesting when it goes over so many descriptors of who it was that Christ came for, and filling up all these words, the understanding that Christ came for everyone. It wasn't anyone beyond circumstance or beyond love. That Christ came for all these situations, and we're all hurting children in this world. And when the world needed a Savior the most, and the prophets and the words were empty, we receive this great gift from God. And we're thankful for that all of our days. In this moment, we move forward to our scripture. As Linda mentioned, that this is really the first part of Advent, first week of Advent, when we start that, is the start of our Christian calendar year. And you always seem like we get some confused looks because when we're looking at this, it's hard to understand when we're talking about the Christian calendar year not being January to December like the normal calendar year that we're used to. And it's important to think of that way, because when we thought of Thanksgiving, sometimes we celebrate Thanksgiving before it happens, and sometimes we touch on Thanksgiving after it happens. And this morning we're going to be looking at abundance and thinking of how Thanksgiving works that way in our life. And so it's interesting when we look at the calendar how that works, because it's very rare we can get together, as Linda mentioned earlier, to be able to celebrate on a Sunday that's not the first week of Advent. But as it finds ourselves today in this unique opportunity, most of us have celebrated this year, or in years past as the norm, is that when the table was spread before us, sometimes the Thanksgiving offering as far as food, the meal we gather together, sometimes it's bigger than just the table. Wouldn't you agree that sometimes we need the counter, or sometimes we need extra tables set up to carry this massive spread that's usually set in front of us? It's more than any of us should be eating in one setting, and sometimes more than we should be eating in several settings. Have you ever been to the household in Thanksgiving that the entire army of family goes through, and you're looking at the plates and the big serving dishes, and it looks like we could probably serve everybody again, if not twice, because there's so much food there, you know? So that, when we're looking at that, we're looking at abundance. And it's interesting that when we think of Thanksgiving and this opportunity that we have this year, think about the end of the calendar year, what that means as we look back into our whole Christian year, our whole life together, that we would celebrate the final note of that in a spirit of thanksgiving. To look back at what the Lord has done for us during this calendar, this Christian calendar year, and just see all the blessings, both big and small. And we can see God in all the trials and tribulations, as Veronica shared with her story. How does that look if we looked at what Thanksgiving is every year, right, that Thursday, that week, the same way we look at the week of New Year's Eve? You know, that last year when you're trying to get things ready and we make promises and resolutions and we tell ourselves how the next year is going to be different, doesn't that change how we will go about Advent? The Advent, the Christmas season, right, this Advent, this expectant time, right, it prepares us for the arrival of the Christ child, the coming Lord. So we wait in eager anticipation for this. But at the same time that we're trying to hurry up and wait, culture is telling us to hurry up and go forward and get the sales this week and do the things and set up all the parties and all the activities that happen for our Christmas season. So it's interesting how we're moving constantly all the time. And so this Sunday we have an opportunity to think, what is that like with that same spirit, right? Because aren't we all a little bit exhausted when December 26th, or maybe that weekend after, you know, there's so much buildup there. Aren't there a little bit of us that are physically and mentally exhausted from all the things? And so we take a breath, and then begins the work of the new year, right? The things are going to be different. The things are going to be better. How does that change our approach to Advent this year that starts next Sunday? If that was viewed, and this is how we're going to begin again. We're going to begin again waiting on the Christ child's arrival. And we're going to herald his coming. That our new year would begin, maybe not on the calendar, but in our hearts and the life of the church. This would be how we start new. That we make new commitments. Not ones that will follow through, but that will honor the Christ child. And dear friends, I would ask us to think about this before next Sunday. I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. But I'm talking about in the honor of the Christian calendar year starting over and this rare opportunity we have to talk about and prepare ourselves this week. Then we look at all the blessings that God has given us. How much more when we honor him with our days, with our life, with our trust? Could we go forward of how we want things to be better? How we want things to be done right to glorify God as we start our Advent season? So this week, the title of the message is called Abundance, and I can see how maybe some of that might be a little bit interesting because we are coming off Thanksgiving, and I understand that, and while we're actually looking at the end of the calendar year, this is always times when we take a stock of where we are as far as commitments to the end of the year, and so it might be a little interesting that we're talking about abundance when we have Thanksgiving and we have leftovers and all these things, but when we flip to the back of our bulletin, we're looking that it doesn't seem like abundance shows up there in the black and white in the numbers because we haven't been receiving what we need for our budget every single week for months. It has to be interesting when we talk about abundance today. And there's a few scriptures that we'll be looking at. But before anybody turns me off, this isn't a stewardship message, okay? So please tune back in. We're not talking about money today. That'll be a portion of it. But it's just the idea of, didn't we just leave a table where we're reminded of the abundance and the ways that our needs are met every single day by Christ? Did we not hear Veronica tell the story that I don't think I'm the only one who sat and thought, you know, I had a couple of missteps. I even had an accident. But it wasn't to those depths. Yet her story praises the Lord through all of them in these moments. Maybe your story is similar. Maybe, you know, in some weird way we stack our stories up against each other. But we can look at the Lord's light in Veronica's life. And it's good that it reminds us today in abundance that the Lord is our provider and provision, not just in physical and material things, but also spiritually. That we have a God of abundance. And that abundance, whether it's physical or it's mental, it's spiritual, is all ours to inherit. John 10:10, the B side of that verse says, John 10:10 says, Jesus says, I have come that all may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, I have come so that all may have life and have it abundantly. Now, in some translations or some ways you might have memorized it when you grew up, it says, I have come that all may have life and may have it to the full. To have it to the full or abundance. So Jesus' arrival and his ministry and his care for us and his desire to bring us back to God wasn't so we simply had more rules to follow. It was so we would break off the chains of being on outside relationship with God. And when we receive the Savior, we receive that grace, we receive that unbridled love, that then we would be able to experience life without the pain of death, that we would never have to be separated again because of grace. Whether it's to have it to the full or abundantly. There's another verse I wanted to share with you, and this comes from Psalm 23. And it's important to think of this because this may be familiar to some of us. Psalms 23 is one of the particular verses that seems like those six speak such truth to us whenever we take a look at it. But so often we celebrate this when we're remembering someone's life. It brings us peace, and it gives us hope. I'd like to read the second part of Psalm 23, verse 5. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. What does that mean, my cup overflows? That means there's more that's going in the cup than the cup can hold. It's important for us to see when we're looking at abundance that we can see that there is more than we could ever hope to grasp that pours out from God to us. The closer we draw, there will always be more grace. There will always be more love than we can ever contain to ourselves. I suppose you could say that's why we're in the business of not keeping it to ourselves, but to give that outpouring to others, because there will always be more than we can contain ourselves. This good news message in life of the resurrection of Christ, the arrival of Christ, it's more than we should want to contain to ourselves, because it gives life, not just to us, but to those who need to hear its message. Our cup overflows. What that reminds us is that we serve a God of abundance. Not a stingy, not a conditional, not a bargain driving, but a God of abundance. The message, the scripture that was picked out for this morning that some of you might have flipped to already, I am going to get to it. It's Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. It says this. Honor the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your houses will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will be bubbling over with new wine. Let me read that again. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with all your wealth, the first fruits of your crops. Then your homes will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will be going over with new wine. So often when we've taken of the tithes and offering, whether it's been this year or the years past, some of the phrasing is talking about the first fruits, of understanding that first fruits means that that comes off the top, right? It said to celebrate the Lord with all of our wealth, all the things that we gather together today. And this is that moment when we think of what that means. We've talked several times about a promissory note. God isn't saying that, you know, I'm forecasting that in 6 weeks I'm going to receive something. So I'm going to go ahead and submit something to the Lord that will honor him, their tithe, and then hopefully in 6 weeks that happens, right? Hopefully that happens and comes in just as we thought. The first fruits doesn't say what crops you think you're going to receive. It doesn't say what things you hope or are projected to receive. God says, honor me with the gifts you've already received, with literally the check that's already been cashed, with the deposit that's already been made, with the crops that you've already harvested. So it's not a promissory note of what may or may not be. It's what's already been received. When we look at the God of abundance, this is what it says. When we do honor God and give the first fruits, saying thank you for the blessings we've already received, it says our barns or our houses will be filled to overflowing. What is that? It will be filled to this line? Have you seen those stockings that are behavior-based stockings that say here's the coal line way at the bottom? And you're like, if you were, you had a couple of good things, you filled it with this line, right? If you really listen to your parents, you fill this line, right? And then it says, if you were pretty selfless, you fill to this line. And then it talks about saying, if you went to church every week or something kind of silly in the front, it says, you fill to the top line overflowing, right? It says, if you do this, if you trust me and honor me, then I will fill your houses and your barns overflowing. And that meant like all these levels, right? And I got a pretty big stocking at home. I don't know about you. It's kind of silly how big it is. It would probably come up to here on me, you know, like one of those sack races. It would probably come up here. So to even fill it to here would be a pretty good haul. You know what I mean? But to say it's going to overflow, what does that mean? When it overflows, that means it spills out. Have you ever seen a stocking that had presents and things like that when they were given spilled out on the floor? Have you ever had a child that's filled something overflowing and it might not be received as a blessing? Have we ever cursed God maybe, whether we meant it literally or figuratively, and just said, we focused on the mess, right? The overflowing, right? But in that moment, can we also understand, praise God that we had something for the child to drink or to eat. Praise God that we have a child in the house, right? Praise God that there's a fridge. That, I mean, can you see all these things that man, we will curse that overflowing before we see the abundance that has been leading up to this moment? And it says that your vats will be boiling over with new wine. It doesn't say that because you honored me in the past, your old wine, it's going to make sure it's enough. Right? It's not going to say if you carefully measured out your old wine that it'll make sure you have enough this year when you honor me. It says no, it will be going over its sides with new wine. Right? Your new provision. And dear friends, when we're looking at this moment, we serve a generous God, both in physical things and in spiritual things as well. Further, if we see in prophetic words in Malachi, we would see the Lord, the only time it seems to mention in prophetic terms that we're asked to challenge God, to test God. He says to test me in these things and see if I don't provide. Thankfulness and thanksgiving for everything that we have, for everyone that we have, every experience that we get to have, is so key to who we are as Christians so that we don't forget, both big and small, how faithful God is. Thankfulness or thanksgiving, loosely translated, and I took this out of the NIV, 102 times in the Old Testament is the word thanksgiving or thankfulness mentioned in context. In the same translation of the NIV, 71 times in the New Testament. Almost 200 times. Do you think that the spirit of thankfulness and thanksgiving should be a point in our lives as faithful Christians, as disciples of Christ? I mean, if it's mentioned 200 different times, essentially almost 200 different times, doesn't that make significance that needs to be part of what our character is? and how we listen to people and spend time with people and how we go about our ministry. There's another word that I think in all of our conversations, unless it's been a Bible study, that we've taken a look at. I've never heard anyone, at least I can recall in my mind, so correct me if I'm wrong with later, is the word abounding. I don't think in our everyday conversations we use the word abounding. And that's okay, but sometimes it starts to get shuffled under that kind of, we use these on church or Christianese type terms of this abounding. And I want to tell you what that's defined as, because it's important for the next couple of scripture we're going to be looking at. Abounding is translated from Webster's Dictionary into being very plentiful or abundant. Abounding is another word for abundant. It's important for us to know that when we look through the lens of the New Testament book of Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, so that you will be abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that one more time. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing, so that you will always abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound is abundant. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we would have abundant hope. The kind that overflows. The kind of hope that we can't hope to contain or should even try to contain in our life. Now may God serves us with an abundant hope more than we can ever need. This is the same God who blesses us in each and every way and provides for our needs. This is the same God who sees our head anointed with oil and our cup overflowing. This is the same God of hope who sent us Christ so that we would not live under the law, but we would live a life abundantly. Abundant hope means that some spills over the side of the cup, means that some spills out from our house or our barn. It means that the God that we serve is not conditional. There's no risk of bankruptcy. We serve a God of abundance, that we can't contain the hope, power of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, we are walking in the season when we wait and celebrate the arrival of the Christ child because of our need in this world. And God delivers us not just that need met, but abundance and hope. Would you agree, dear friends, this community, this world, if there's something it needs is hope. There's not enough that they've been given, but there is enough that we've received. There is power in the name of Christ. There's power in the Messiah. There's a saving grace that will never run out. As we're reminded at the Eucharist table that we are stained to our depths, our core, our very existence with the blood of the Lamb. And that stain will never fade. We serve a God of abundant hope. Will we curse God for the abundance? Or will we give it to someone who needs to hear the hope that Jesus gives? Psalm 103 and Psalm 145. Interesting, in both these places of wisdom, we see captured in verse 8 of both, Psalm 103, verse 8, and 145, verse 8, it says this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Again, it says this in 103, verse 8, and 145, verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Remember, we just talked about abounding means abundance. So not only do we serve a God of abundant hope, but a God of abundant love. If there's something else that this community and this world needs, an endless supply of love. We need hope and we need love. And my dear friends, even though we are the hands and feet of Christ and we're called to show that love and that hope to one another, we're all people. And we're all going to have days when that might not be very apparent. We might have seasons when that might not be very apparent. We might even have in our lives, as Veronica shared, times that our faithfulness was broken and might be even longer than a day or a season that we walked away from things. But this abundant love doesn't dry up when we walk away. As Veronica said, God pursues us and doesn't give up on us. He gives us chance after chance after chance. But we can't take that for granted, because a love has a price. As we've challenged in the past, that you can't celebrate the arrival of Christ in a manger without celebrating the shadow of the cross upon it. There is a heavy price paid for abundant love, but it was given for us once and for all. God is rich in his blessing, my dear friends. And when we prioritize and honor God with our lives, with our wealth, with our trust, the Lord says, call me on this, that if you give me your first fruits, whether it's with the time that we spend, the trust that we have in situations, the courage that we have to share this evangelistic message, or yes, my dear friends, even with our wealth, God says, call me on this, and I will see it, that your blessings are overflowed, your houses and barns are bursting because of the blessings that I can give. In these moments when we think of this before we move to our offering, my dear friends, it's so much more than talking about budgeting, tithing, and offering. Did you miss where we said trust? Do you trust God is at work or is limited to as far as we can see? Limited is opposite from abundant. Conditional is opposite from abundant. This year, as we've seen a handful of years ago, it became this big deal in our holiday season, our Christmas season, right? That we would hear a Christmas tree be called a holiday tree, right? We're having a holiday tree sale. It was just, ugh. I mean, didn't we all be kind of say, ah, really? Come on. How politically correct are we going to get here, right? And then employees got in trouble because they had to say, have a happy holiday, because we'll say Christmas sound. You might offend somebody, right? But then didn't something happen? It seemed like we started getting a little frustrated by this. But then in that frustration, didn't somehow when someone said Merry Christmas, that you were like, hey, you're one of us. You said the Christmas thing, and you're not trying to be politically correct. You're honoring Christ, that you're one of us, right? It was an identifier, wasn't it? It was almost, I don't want to say silly, but it was just so unique that by someone wishing us a Merry Christmas, we jumped right to you too. Love Jesus and our disciple of Christ because you said Merry Christmas and you had courage to not deal with all this stuff and what the world thinks, but you're claiming Christ. I'm not sure if everyone meant that by that, but I know I still get pretty giddy about it. In this season of Advent, because we have this rare Sunday before, I would like to have a challenge that we all walk through together, because that's what we're supposed to do. But you know, this Advent season, since we have time to think about it before we do this, I want to ask you to really think about what our salutation or our greeting means this year. Will I leave it to Merry Christmas for people to see that I believe in Christ? Take this season, right? Would I leave it to chance or hope that that's somehow enough to say Merry Christmas and people would understand the passion, would understand the abundant hope, would understand the abundant love that pours forth from our Savior because I happen to say Merry Christmas, or I intentionally say Merry Christmas. You know, one of the things that we take a look at so often in our Christmas Eve service is the prophetic scripture from Isaiah that says, unto us a Savior is born. Unto us a Savior is born. Can I challenge you to think of this for a moment? Again, the greeting, the common greeting, or the salutation, I'm sorry, have a good day, right? That's not seasonal, it's all the time. Have a good day. Praise the Lord because the Savior is given, you too. The Savior is born to us, you too. Now, you didn't have to get your box. You didn't have to have them come to anything or do anything. But just like our testimony, it's not just for the world to hear. It's for us to be reminded that in this season of waiting, this Advent season, this anticipation of the arrival of the Christ child, Merry Christmas, because a Savior to us is born. Merry Christmas to you too. That small thing doesn't leave it to chance that I'm giving you a seasonal greeting. I'm telling you where my heart is. I'm reminding myself what I'm claiming. My dear friends, when we offer the Savior to this world, remember, Jesus came and there was no room for him. Jesus came in darkness. And how did people know where he was? They followed the light. They followed the light. Could we ask our ushers to come forward as we look at our tithes and our offerings to understand how our first fruits manifest before us? And we ask, Lord, that you would challenge us through this time to trust you and to be open with our conversations about you in this holiday season. Lord, each and every blessing that we receive, we have to give thanks to you for, both big and small and everywhere in between. Whether it's with our wealth or with our hearts and our spirit, Lord, we submit these things to you. Would you take our gifts, our tithes, our offering, and our talents, and would you be glorified by them, Lord? Would you multiply them to reach the needs, to reach this church, to reach the community, to reach our neighbors, to reach and change this world. Lord, help us to be good stewards of the resources we receive and anoint the houses from which they came. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. All right. Could we please sing together, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, number 672, God Be With You Till We Meet Again.
Thank you.
It's sincere that we hope and we pray that God would be with you till we all meet together again. We talk today about abundance. And in verse 3, we said, put his arms unfailing around you. My dear friends, we serve a generous and abundant God. When we sing of unfailing arms and unfailing love, history, Scripture fulfills that faithfulness. Could we go forward and serve a God of abundance who's unfailing? As we go forward in the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this time of Advent. Amen.